Time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We do that for Truett and White, Professional Builder's Choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. We're getting ready for baseball here, and I know you were down in L.A., Bruce, and you and I haven't touched base on just your general reactions to the series and how the Giants did, and, of course, the last game with Matt Moore.
Well, the last game was really what's everyone should take out of that series. I mean, after the first two games, you're starting to think, you know, maybe this isn't going to happen. You know, they just couldn't get the big hit. The Dodgers looked, they just looked like a better team. And two really big things happened. Matt Moore, of course, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers made that strange trade, trading away A.J. Ellis and breaking Clayton Kershaw's heart and putting the clubhouse in shock. So, I mean, it was an amazing, I don't know if you can, it could be the beginning of a turnaround. It sure feels like one. Then last night the Dodgers took a terrible loss, and Carlos Ruiz, of all people, the guy they brought in for Ellis, wasn't able to handle a couple pitches that I think were ruled wild pitches, but that he should have had. The first one, he tried to backhand it instead of smothering it to keep it in front of him, and the second one was a high fastball that touched his glove, so, and he was accountable for it. So just a really abrupt change of mood in so many ways. The Dodger clubhouse, you know, the Giants rotation, you know, Matt Moore and the Duffy trade, and and then last night, of course, the Giants pour it on and get a good win. So things have really changed since my first day in L.A.
Bruce, I got to ask you, and I'm not known for my compassion or my sensitivity, but Clayton Kershaw being so emotional, weeping over A.J. Ellis, does that speak to maybe why he hasn't had a lot of playoff success, is that he's so freaking sensitive?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, he's one of the greatest pitchers in history. I mean,
regular season, Bruce, regular season.
Well, yeah, he has had trouble in the postseason, no doubt about it. I haven't been close to that situation. I haven't covered any of those games. Mm-hmm. It's curious for sure. Kershaw's a great guy, a great teammate. He's about as good a guy as you could ever imagine. He's not a deer in the headlights kind of guy by any means. So I just wouldn't go that far. But you know, they had a really good relationship, and Ellis was kind of the conscience of the clubhouse, which isn't easy to do when you're hitting 190 and not catching all the time. He was a really important guy on that team, and he was gone. And they're not still crying, but they had, you know, it hit them both pretty hard because it seemed so unnecessary and out of the blue.
Bruce, when Ray Ratto was traded to CSN Bay Area, did you meet in the hallways of the Chronicle, embrace and weep? I got to know.
I think we traded a few hard-edged, sarcastic jokes with a real bite to them. There's nothing close to tears there, no.
I love it. Yeah.
All right. Hey, going on in baseball, though, let's get away from the Giants just for a second. Yankees brought up a catcher, Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, yeah.
Bruce, of course, I'm sure following him, 10 homers in his first 20 games. You're talking about stuff that Mickey Mantle did and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and things like that. And hit another one today. Are you following this Gary Sanchez?
Oh, yeah. The last 2 years and this year, I was just totally put off by the Yankees. They're just so tired. You know, Sabathia and Teixeira and McCann and A-Rod and whatever. You know, it just didn't strike me as a great Yankee team. I didn't even follow their games, really, just beyond the box scores. But all of a sudden, they bring up Aaron Judge and Tyler Austin. They make these terrific deals for prospects. And now this guy, this is like McCovey in 59. And he might make a late run for the Rookie of the Year like McCovey did in 59.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal. He's a good catcher. He's not going to hit 60 homers, but, I mean, all of a sudden, that's another position they can chalk off for their future team, and it's just terrific. It's reminiscent of way back when Brian Sabian was there, and they built a team around prospects that they signed and drafted, and next thing you know, they got a powerhouse. So I'm really following the Yankees and Sanchez.
10 homers in the first 22 games. He hit another one today, his 11th homer. So Trevor Story did that. Remember the amazing start he had? And the person before that who did that, George Boomer Scott. How about that?
Jeez, I was going to say Sully Hemus, but then I checked myself.
No, you could have
said Boomer Scott. Yeah, he broke into the scene in a crazy way, yeah.
You could have gone with Dalton Jones. You could have gone with Joe Cunningham. You could have gone a lot of ways that way.
Yeah, Trip Cromer is one of my favorites. Too,
okay.
Yeah.
But it's incredible to see it, and I love it. I think it's great for baseball. And Bruce, the home runs, though, as I mentioned to Pat today, 14 players have 30 homers or more. Lack of better pitching, the ball juice, the velocity, the angle of the swing. What's going on here?
I'm sure StatCast has an answer. No, you know, yeah. Every year there's trends, and every year people try to figure it out, and sometimes it's just this is what's happening. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there might be all those factors involved, but it's not like you can really explain it. You know, I mean, it's just happening. The pitching is great. More guys are throwing in the high 90s than ever. The relief pitching is lights out from the fifth inning on. So, I mean, we're not seeing as many great starting pitchers this season, especially in the American League, to the point where Zach Britton is up for, you know, Cy Young and maybe even MVP. But, you know, I don't sit around trying to figure it out. You know, it's just happening, and I think it's great.
Well, I don't know if the ball is juice, but Bartolo Colon, who we got a piece of a week ago, he had two hits last night for the Mets. That's the first time that's happened in 14 years. And they showed the video of his last two-hit game, Bruce. He was a slender member of the Montreal Expos.
Oh, it's so funny because when they were here a few days ago, his first at-bat, he stood there and didn't even move. I mean, he was not going to swing. He just wasn't. And the count went to 3-2. I think it was Matt Moore. And then he, you know, took kind of a half-baked swing. But all of a sudden, last night, when he goes after it, he has a pretty decent slashing swing. It's not that bad. The guy's a good athlete, and, you know, those hits were legitimate looking. It wasn't like they're little dribblers or something. So what a strange cat. I mean, you never know if he's even going to swing, but sometimes when he does, good things happen.
Well, he's a lot like Cueto in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen, and they learn how to pitch and how to do it. And both, obviously, Latin pitchers. Colon now 230 wins. Dennis Martinez 245, Juan Marichal 243, and that's it. That's where he stands with some of the greats of the game, and it's one of those baseball stories, Bruce. It won't quit.
Yeah, he's truly amazing. I mean, if he passes Marichal, that'll be kind of bizarre in its way. But I mean, he is the bottom line. He's a great athlete. He was a great athlete when he was a kid. They talk about how agile and limber he was, and he could kind of do anything. And you know, he let himself go, to say the least. He had plenty of fun at the barbecues over the years, but you know, so baseball will allow you. You know, Pablo Sandoval was a heck of a hitter when he was way overweight.
Yep.
And that's one of the beauties of the game. You can still do things. It's not the ideal situation, but you can still produce, even play the field if you put on a few pounds.
Bruce, looking at some of the things that happened, Vin Scully. Now, when you were down there, and I know you were at a couple of the games down there, did you get to talk to Vin Scully at all?
I did not. I missed him the first two games. Every time I popped in there were some people there. I didn't want to barge in, and then I was really looking forward to seeing him that third night, and I got sick that morning and wasn't able to get out to the park that night. But we got two more series left. I know Vin a little bit. He's so great. You know, I bring my family out. He always remembers my wife and daughter's names. He's one of those very, very special guys, you know, and definitely will hook up with him before before it. So I always feel like I'm in the presence of royalty, or, you know, just of God or something when I'm around him, because, you know, he was there when the Dodgers moved west. I was 10 years old, and he's still there. I mean, what the heck is that? It's just hundreds of years later.
Well, he's the only one in baseball that intimidates me. You know that?
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
You don't really know. You just hope you say something that sounds like you're someone intelligent.
Well, you know? I'm standing there. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm in Ebbets Field, looking at him. You know, and it's a presence of someone very special. So the Dodgers took their team photo. Did you see this the other day? And they all had a cutout of a Vince Scully face.
Huh.
And they all, and he's in the middle of the picture. I mean, actually in there.
Yeah.
And everyone else has got the cardboard picture of Vince Scully. It was great.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was, and he loved it. He's a
That's
riot.
Great.
He's having fun. You know that?
Oh, yeah. I watched the game last night. His call of Chris Bryant's homer, high fly ball, a mean fly ball, a gone fly ball.
How about the Matt Moore, the base hit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Another great call. Yeah, it's just, you know,
talk
the
about
guy.
How baseball will break your heart, and it seemed unfair.
Yeah.
You could just hear him saying it. Boy, it's special. And he'll be here, you know, that last weekend.
Yep.
I wonder what the Giants will do. Now, of course, you got a pennant race. You can't get too crazy about it. If you do, you know, this game could decide the whole thing.
They'll do something.
But, well, they could knock him out of the into retirement. I mean, it's his last game, but you know, if the Dodgers are going to go to the postseason, he'll still work.
That's
but
right.
If the Giants knock the Dodgers out of the postseason, that's going to be it for Vin, or maybe the Dodgers will be set, or maybe they'll be out of it. But it's going to be fascinating anyway. It's so great that it ends at the Giants ballpark.
Yeah, you'd almost like to. You know, of course, if the game doesn't mean anything, the Giants are in. You know, and all this, the game doesn't mean anything. You'd almost like to have him broadcast the last inning on the PA system.
No, that would be incredible. I guarantee you the Giants will do something. I mean, you know, Kruko and Kuiper and John Miller and Dave Fleming, they would step aside for whatever they have planned for Vin. I mean, you don't do it over the PA system. I don't know if he might, you know, introduce the hitters. That would be great. But to have him step into the Giants booth and out of, I don't know who'd call the Dodgers, but it wouldn't be Kruko, I don't think. But they'll do something that's very special for Vin, and you know he'll probably resist it. If it's too upfront, too public, too showy, he won't do it. You know, people wanted him to call the World Series this year, and he says, well, that's not my place. That's not my job. You know, I don't want to step in front of somebody else. And he's that kind of a guy. But something very special will happen, without a doubt.
Well, they should. One last thing, Bruce. Albert Pujols, 585. Next up, Frank Robinson, 586. I know he's in California and the Angels and all this stuff. Maybe he's lost a lot of that luster.
Yeah.
But he will go down as one of the legit. There's no suspicion right now. There was a little bit earlier. But Wright goes down to one of the great hitters of all time.
Oh, without a doubt. Certainly among right-hand hitters, right up there. Probably one of the top five ever. You know, straight into the Hall of Fame. It's great because he's had tremendous foot problems. He doesn't run that well, but he gets in the box and he's exactly the same, and he does the same kind of damage. And it's great to see him, you know, producing. That the Angels don't have much going for him.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think that, you know, the Giants have almost no power these days, and here's a team with Trout and Pujols, and they're just horrible.
Sure.
So, I mean, yeah, there's no guarantees.
Hey, Marty, if you don't mind, sure, one final note for you guys after the 133-pitch performance from Matt Moore on Thursday. I looked up who had thrown the most pitches in a single game, and they didn't really keep that stat till the early 80s, I suppose. But there is a probable MLB record, and maybe you guys know Leon Cador, Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, back in the 1920 or so.
26 innings.
Look at you guys. You know what?
We know that. Joe Oscar and Leon Cador.
Forget about it.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, that's easy.
Well,
I just got Dikembe, Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that 26-inning game is, you know, it's etched in my memory as well as Marty, because we go back and we read that stuff. It's very interesting. I think young fans should really get after baseball history because it's so interesting. You find out so many incredible things. But I was just going to say, Nolan Ryan talks about, he estimates throwing way over 200 pitches several times.
What do you think? I know you love this, and I know you wrote about it, but, you know, more 130, 133, get him out. Something's going to happen. I mean, they left him in there. Bochy knew what to do.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard is to think that if a guy's going good and his arm feels good, there's some difference between the 95th pitch and the 125th pitch. Because there isn't any difference, okay? Who the hell are these people? God, you get Kruko going on this. I mean, he doesn't, you know, Bochy has to play it somewhat safe. But, you know, Bochy will let Lincecum throw 140, whatever he threw. He'll let Moore because he sees the moment and he sees the guy. He sees, you know, what he thinks the guy's arm is feeling like, and he just, that's the way baseball has to be played. I mean, the pitch count madness is way out of hand, but, you know, thank God we have Bochy in this team. It makes a huge difference.
I thought it was great. I love Thursday night. And again, you don't want to be too dramatic. There's still 34 to go, and September baseball is here, and we know what that entails. But there was just something about that game, maybe the best game of the year for me, and just keeping him in there, and Matt Moore's face and the smile, and you can read his lips talking to Bochy. I thought it was terrific.
Well, it was just so big for him. I mean, as big as it was for the team, it was really big for him. Great plays by Spann behind him.
Yeah.
You know, the defense is really, really showing up. Pitching and defense, Marty. The Giants are looking that way. Samardzija was fantastic last night. It was the Braves, but he's got the changeup going. He's got the curveball going. He's inventing himself as he goes along. He's got a lot of pitches. The fastball was moving wickedly. And so, you know, it's a great upswing. We knew it was coming. And we might be seeing it now.
Well, it's a good time of year. Pleasure having you with us. We'll have you on again tomorrow. Before you go, the Dodgers did win, Carmen, right?
Dodgers did win
3-2. Jansen got the save today. So, all right. It just makes the race even more interesting. That's all it does.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Have a good afternoon. All right. That is Bruce Jenkins.
Leon Cador, Marty.
Joe Oshker and Leon Cador, Boston Braves, Brooklyn Dodgers,
26 innings,
1-1. And I think Joe Oshker lived in San Francisco.
Is that right?
He was part of the San Francisco Unified School District, and Bruce McGowan actually went to see him.
Every time. You know how you say every time you go to the yard, you're going to see something new? Every time I sit down with you here at the Public House, I learn something new.
Yeah, Bruce did a great job in that stuff. Really
great.
Good.